and contribution to support your radio station. Please return your ballot in the enclosed postage paid envelope now in order to have it reach the Pacifica Elections Box in New York. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace.
You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to another Jay Lee free episode of Technology Bites here on 90.1 FM KPFT Houston or wherever you may be listening. It sounds like we've got the digital Peter going on there.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
All right, smoking's bad for you.
I'm pretty sure that's Aphex Twin. Possibly Daft Punk.
Yeah, I feel like we're listening to a new Daft Punk song. And so where does this come from? Where does this...
Where do we come from?
Where do we come... Yeah, it's
without
kind of
getting
an existential
too philosophical
question,
about it.
Isn't it?
In the short term.
Comes from the same place IKEA Monkey comes from. Toronto.
All strange things come from Toronto.
Man, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, I think we ought to just leave Peter there.
Let's just let that play for 2 hours.
Yeah. So is that on Google? That's too good.
Yeah, that's through Google.
That's through Google? And it was doing that on Skype last week, right?
I don't remember if it did that on Skype or if it was just cutting out a whole lot.
It was
and then we switched to Google
lot.
And it did that. But then it got better.
Yeah,
this is definitely better.
I think I switched to his access point. I'm on the KPFT 2.4.
Oh, yeah, definitely switch.
Yeah, I just put up the 4G,
so
and I've got green.
So swap it over.
Should we do the ID thing?
We should probably go ahead and do
before the FCC
thing.
Shows up at our doors and takes...
Well, he said I think we're on KPFT.
We're okay. Good.
Done that.
We don't have to do our names or anything?
But it's our ID.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
I said it, but it doesn't matter because I actually said it before the show started, too. So we've done... And they have them in almost all of the...
PSAs.
Oh, you're not supposed to drop... Radio lingo on the air.
That's right. A common thing.
So we probably had four of them in the last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes.
So we're covered. People know who we are and what we want. So, but we don't know who we are.
We don't know who that is.
We don't know who that is over there on the
it's
computer.
Like the Terminator.
So I flipped over to yours.
Peter, let's hear it.
I don't know if it's going to be any better.
No, it's not.
That's awesome.
Digital bubbles.
Probably not for Peter, but yeah. But it sounds cool.
For us, yeah. It works great for us.
It's great entertainment. We could actually just have a whole show of that. Just let that play. I'd listen.
Not during ratings week, though. All right, so I guess
it'd be cool,
we
like, if you tell Weenie he gets mad.
All right, so maybe we should say who we are.
Who are we? Who are you? Who am I?
We got to wait for Peter to start it off.
Yeah. Good luck.
That'll work.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
And we're missing Jay Lee.
We are broadcasting in missing geek formation.
Still no Jay.
He's actually still alive, right? He wasn't eaten by a Krampus?
No, I think he's passed out on the floor of the Hofbrau House.
Oh.
He was eating and drinking earlier.
He said the original Hofbrau House.
Yes,
so the one in Vegas is not the original
Hofbrau
House.
That is not it.
Ah, I was misled.
This is the one in Munich. And, you know, he may still be lying on the floor covered in other people's beer.
So can you get, like, half pints there?
You can get whatever you want. It's a
yes.
Everybody just gets those.
It comes
huge
with a side of shame.
Yeah, really. It must.
Absolutely.
Half pint, please.
So I don't think. So I guess we could have Peter just dial in to regular old pot.
Yeah, he actually sounds pretty good that way.
He sounded good potted up.
The funny thing, he says that we sound completely crystal clear on his end. Like, he can hear us completely normally.
Of course
but,
we do.
Right.
But him coming back across is totally jacked up.
Digital bubbles.
That's right. So he should probably just go ahead and call in and do the telephone thing. So we can get us some news.
Well, we can give out the particulars.
We can give out the particulars, exactly. The phone number we take your calls, you know, is 713-526-5738. Or, if you're alphabetically inclined, 713-526-KPFT. We answer your computer questions. We have some other ways to talk to us, right, Barrett?
Yes, we're also on the IRC at irc.cuckoo.com in Pound Tech Bytes. There's Peter, possibly. If you don't know how to get on to IRC via a client, you can go through the website at geekradio.com. Is that a Peter?
I think that is a Peter. I hear at least that's a Skypey Peter.
That was me calling him.
Oh, so we'll see.
On Skype. We're going to see if Skype does any better.
Yeah. Can you tell if he was on awaiting your call? I see no response.
I think he was, but he hasn't answered.
So Peter is in San Antonio, and we get him in often through Skype. It's not always the clearest of connections,
right, so now,
but
now
we're
going
to find out
this.
How it works.
Ooh. Houston has a digital filter coming in.
What if we speed that up five times?
Or play it backwards.
Or play it back and play it backwards.
So is your connection okay? Is your input going through your output through your
dingle
heavy?
But he said he could hear us.
One long tone for yes. Two long tones for no.
It would just be like the bit on Tron, you know. Yes.
No. That's awesome.
Wow. I really like that.
I'm going to wait for the dubstep version to come out.
I want that to be my new ringtone. Hello, Moto. Afflicted is plugging and unplugging connections and whatnot. Twiddling buttons and trying to get Pete up on the Skype.
We may have to go analog.
I think so.
People can be preemptive, though, and get in queue before
right.
we do the news, just in case we keep having technical difficulties by dialing 713-526-5738. We need a mnemonic for the 526, so it can be all alphabetical.
Well, listen, there's a jam KPFT.
You should put jam KPFT on the thing in the station here.
It's over here on this side, 713-JAM-KPFT.
Yeah, so we're going to see if we can get Peter now on the plain old telephone system And
still struggling with the Skype.
Oh, we still working the Skype.
I think they're chatting, figuring out logistics. We're gonna send in.
They need to walk away from that like a Facebook IPO. Boom, boom.
Oh no!
What's going on? Tell us.
It's
dumping physical memory to disk.
Blue screen of death.
Wow, whose?
Dwight.
Mine.
Your Mac?
It's on a virtual machine.
So your VM.
My
blue
virtual
screen
machine
on
Windows
your Mac.
Crashed with a blue screen of death.
It's just like it were the real
whole
Windows.
Screen or is it just a little screen?
It's full screen. I had it on full screen. So I was. I hope
is
I.
Is your
said,
Mac dead?
No. It's my something was wrong with my Windows machine.
No, the next iteration is going to be called Windows Blue, right? I don't think that's the best of naming conventions. I think they could have picked a different color because there's that's just too
name.
Easy of a joke.
That's the code name. I think Still. They're looking at. I think they're looking at going to. You know, they're looking at doing annual versions of Windows, and my suspicion is that they may go to. They may go to something like an annual thing. So, like, you know, there's Windows 9. They go back to, like, the Windows 95 type thing. Although, if they do it next year, you don't want to have Windows 13.
No.
Why not?
Because they won't ship until 15.
Yes. So
the unlucky release. I want to see what Apple's going to do because they're running out of dot releases.
You mean they're running out of animals?
Yeah, and animals, too. They're going to have to start gene splicing.
Right. Well, you know that the Apple advertising campaign for the next version when they go up to OS 11 will be it goes to 11. They have to do that, right?
Yeah, one would hope.
You have to do it goes to 11.
Can they pick another animal?
There probably are some other cats, but they're like probably like fairly unknown. Like, you know, you're going to end up with something like, you know, OS 10 Civet or something like
Thundercat.
That.
Thundercat. You know? There goes. Yeah, cartoon animals.
Thundercat cats. Would be pretty good.
That would be. I would run that.
Yes. You do have to do a cartoon animal. You can't have, like, that dramatic picture of the cat staring right at you.
And now we have Peter.
We do?
Yes.
For real?
So now, can you hear me?
Yes!
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, really.
So do we know what happened?
On my end, I can hear you guys fine. On Skype, you can call up the technical specs. You know, there's a way to call up the technical call info in Skype where you can show a window and it shows in real time, like CPU usage and that kind of stuff. And on my end, it shows everything pretty much
as it should be, huh? Well, yeah. I think it was clearly the issue was on our end. But Flicted, do you know what the problem was? He's shaking his head no.
Did he find the technical call info piece?
I think he did.
He's shaking his head no.
Shaking his head no.
Because it used to be there was under, at least on mine, I have the latest version of Skype, which is 6. Under the window menu, there's one that says technical call info, and you call that up, and it pops up a little window that shows things like packet loss and UDP status on both sides and stuff like that.
Dwight's got a beefier processor. I wonder if we shouldn't try it from a different machine. Or even this isn't too much faster than Flicked's.
He has a relatively new MacBook Air. His machine is actually probably...
So you think it's adequate?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Should be, although is he running AutoCAD?
He's just recompiling the kernel and rebuilding Make World.
And 3D rendering.
Playing Crisis.
You have to turn it on under Preferences. Under the Advanced menu, you have to check a box to allow to see the technical window.
And does that does the technical window tell you anything, Flicted?
Says, everything's good.
And it is, because we hear Peter just fine. Excellent.
Strange. Okay, well...
So should we go ahead and move on to the news while we got you and you sound good?
Well, he's on a landline now, correct?
Yes. That would work. Yeah.
Oh, he's on the landline.
Well, I've got Skype is on.
Okay.
But I've got it, you know, obviously the microphone's muted and all that so that I could leave the call going so that Flicked could see the text.
See the diagnostics,
on it.
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead, Flicked, and get...
I'm just trying to see if he talks on Skype, if it sounds electronic straight from my computer, or mm-hmm. if it's just once it goes through the Griffin and into the board and all that.
So we want to do some like diagnostics here on the air.
Yeah, but I guess we can do it after the news.
We'll do it after the news, yeah.
Or I can just switch randomly between Skype and...
So part of the news would be clear, and the other part would be... Zip, zip,
zip, zip. Can you actually do the whole news as a robot?
Or it can be the annoying sidekick. Hey.
Hey, you can be your own annoying sidekick.
That's right.
Hey, Robot Peter, how are things in technology this week?
Yeah, that was straight off my laptop, not through anything. And, so and it's not actually because it's going through the board bad. It's actually coming out of my laptop that way.
Okay. All right. Well, landline it is then.
All right.
Mr. Peter.
So you ready to do the news?
Yeah, that's what comes.
Ready.
All right. How's Johnny Five doing?
And now...
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Yeah, so now I can be my own sidekick. That'll be interesting. This one is kind of cool because of just sort of the basic idea behind it. You know, science has long known about the curious gravitational variations on the moon's surface called mascons, that's evidenced by the Doppler shift of radio signals from passing spacecraft. However, researchers are now taking an unprecedented high-fidelity look at the moon's gravitational field. And this is the part that I think is really cool, is we've got these orbiters going around the moon that are keeping track of the gravitational field. It's called the Gravity Recovery and Interior Laboratory, GRAIL. It's part of the NASA Discovery Program and aims to determine the moon's interior structure via fluctuations in its gravitational field, as well as to uncover potential clues about the, you know, how the rocky inner planets were formed in our galaxy or our solar system. Pretty cool. The other thing that I like is, you know, so they've got GRAIL. That's pretty clever. And then the two orbiters are called Ebb and Flow. They're about the size of a washing machine each. So on the naming thing, NASA seems to have it down. The deal is they were launched in September of 2011, and they arrived at the moon 24 hours apart on New Year's Eve 2011 and New Year's Day 2012. They took their time reaching the moon in order to conserve their fuel and reduce their approach speed, which helped them get super low 50-kilometer orbit heights. So they're pretty low to the moon, relatively speaking. And so they're keeping track of it, and they also have a set of joystick-controlled cameras as part of the Moon KAM project. The naming stuff just doesn't end on this. It's Moon Knowledge Acquired by Middle School Students, Moon Cam, which allows school children to directly control the orbiter's digital eyes. So the whole ebb and flow thing and having satellites around other planets. There's Mars has one, and there's I think that Venus has one from Europe, from the European Space Agency. So it's just kind of cool as opposed to just getting them around the Earth. And here's an interesting one. I guess the good news, bad news. U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill has sent a letter to the head of the Federal Aviation Administration saying the flying public is, quote, growing increasingly skeptical, unquote, of prohibitions on the use of electronic devices like tablets and computers during the beginning and end of flights. The senator notes the absurdity of the current situation since the FAA has recently approved the use of iPads to replace paper flight manuals. So that means that the pilot in the plane, the guys up in the front, you know where all the controls and stuff are? They will have iPads and be using them. Oh, but it's not safe if you're back in, you know, back one row away from the bathrooms. that if you, you know, play Angry Birds while taking off, then somehow the plane will go rocketing into some sort of pig-constructed thing. So, let's see, the, just to get the highlights, she says, you know, the FAA, let's see, importantly, such anachronistic policies undermine the public's confidence in the FAA, thereby increasing the likelihood that rules of real consequence will be given too little respect. The absurdity was highlighted when the FAA acted earlier this year to allow tablet computers to replace paper flight manuals in the cockpit, further enhancing the public's skepticism. While safety and security must be the top priority in air travel, the FAA and other federal agencies should also work to ensure air travel is as hassle-free as possible. So hopefully, you know, earlier this year, the FAA said it was taking a, quote, fresh look at the use of digital devices during takeoff and landing, although they have not announced any changes in policy. The way that devices, the way they would allow devices to be there for takeoff and landing, if an airline wanted to go ahead and allow it, as opposed to with the FAA rules, the process is they apparently would have to take every single plane in their fleet and have the one in one device, and they'd have to do takeoffs and landings with that device operating in an empty plane. I don't remember how many times it was, but they would have to take off and land with that device running to certify it that it was okay, that device would be okay. So now you're talking about, and that's each individual type of device. And so you can imagine what the cost would be, just the fuel cost to do that, let alone the time and the service cost. And if you wanted to approve 10 devices, that's 10 takeoffs and landings at minimum. So it's crazy. In the bad news, they said that when you do get to have your devices, that then everyone will have to be cavity searched and they will have to wear clear plastic jumpsuits. Now, I added that part, but usually it seems like, you know, there's like the thing where entropy always increases. In certain systems, it seems like stupidity always increases. So if they make the electronic devices less stupid, the policy less stupid, then probably your airport security procedures will have to become somehow more invasive to counterbalance. Have you been wanting some of that cool Google Fiber to your house, but you don't want to move to Kansas City? Google Chairman Eric Schmidt was at the New York Times Dealbook Conference today, and he made a bit of news concerning the company's big broadband effort, Google Fiber. That, Schmidt says, is not just an experiment. Quote, it's a real business, and we're trying to decide where to expand next. Unquote. Unfortunately, he didn't offer much more in the way of specifics beyond that. But it sounds like the chances of those who don't live in one Kansas City or the other getting some gigabit broadband to the home just got a bit better. So, you know, they can sure throw that my way. I'd take some of that cool fiber. In other Google news, Google has Windows 8 users hoping for native Gmail and calendar apps could have a long wait in store. Although the report that circulated around the web today saying that Google had definitively ruled them out is wrong. In an interview with the British tech publication V3, Google Apps product manager Clay Baver did say his products would not come to the platform anytime soon. Quote, we have no plans to build out Windows apps, he said. We are very careful about where we invest, and we'll go where the users are, but they are not on Windows Phone or Windows 8, he said. He added that Google's stance could change if and when Windows 8 gains scale. But Windows 8 apps have not been ruled out. It doesn't mean they won't do them ever. So this is not a great thing for Windows 8 when they're wanting to kind of, you know, when they want to be an equal participant to, you know, say iPads and Android tablets and such, or frankly even just, you know, Macs and Chromebooks. But so until they prove they've got the market, they're not going to get the Google love. So I think that's an interesting one. It'll be that would be a measure. I think that the amount of time it takes for that scale to happen would be a measure of the success or failure of Windows 8. That's one of the kind of tells that you could look for as to whether Windows 8 is really getting adopted and is having a usage at a level that makes Google act. And in case you want to be all insidery and have, you know what Sandy Bridge was or knew what it was before it came out and Ivy Bridge, and what are they? Well, they're the code names for various Intel processors. But now so here's your new one. It's called Haswell. The VR Zone shared what is claimed to be a leaked list of Intel's first wave of Haswell desktop processors, H-A-S-W-E-L-L. The 14 new chips are expected to debut in the spring of 2013. So it's not like this is not like something way off in the unforeseeable future. And we'll build new architecture on top of the 22 nanometer process used in the current Ivy Bridge chips. This will bring a number of enhancements to Intel's chip lineup, including faster performance and significant integrated graphics improvements delivered by the new Intel HD 4600 graphics package. The Haswell desktop chips are likely, of course the dog's going to bark, are likely to only make their way into Apple's iMac family, as the Mac Mini uses mobile chips. This is from the Mac side. On the PC side, who knows where they'll go. But the Mac Pro takes advantage of Xeon-branded server chips. Still, progress on Haswell sets the stage for further improvements to the just-redesigned flagship desktop Mac, and mobile chips that will power most of the rest of Apple's Mac lineup should follow relatively soon after. You know, the desktop goes first, and so on the Apple side, that would be the Mac, but the iMac, but for PCs, you're going to have all the option is for these on anything that's using a desktop processor from Dell or HP. The Haswells will be out in the spring and can help. Will boost performance. At this point, though, it just doesn't. It's so hard to really measure what the difference is. But if you're looking for a new computer, keeping track of when the processors are coming out next spring could either mean really big deals on the existing architecture, or if you're wanting the latest, greatest, bleeding edge, then you know what to wait for. And finally, on new stuff, Acer came out with the C7 Chromebook, and a lot of reviewers liked the price, but some aspects of the build that people didn't like. But now there's an update with a new model, the C710-2605, what a flashy name. The price goes up to $299, but the things that they did with the charging you extra is you get twice as much RAM. It's got 4 gigs in it, a bigger hard drive, as well as an improved battery. The form factor is the same size. It's 11.6 inches. The display is still the same as before, and it uses the same Celeron chip as it did before. It's got Wi-Fi and ABGNN, built-in webcam, 3 USB ports, HDMI, VGA, and Ethernet LAN. So it's, and it's Chrome OS. It's a Chromebook, so it gets 100 gigabytes of Google Drive storage for 2 years thrown into the deal as well. So the nice part is this isn't coming out some other later. It's out right now. You can apparently pick it up for the previously mentioned asking price. You just have to, go find where Acer is selling them to you. And that's the news.
All right, back from the news, Peter. I got some extra news to add.
Whoa, cool.
Google, according to All Things D, this evening, Google is set to release its Maps for iOS app tonight.
Ooh, okay. That one I hadn't heard. That didn't pop up when I was
That just came down the pike. It looks like you can't tell from the story at All Things D whether Google is releasing it to Apple for its final approval or whether Apple will release it to the App Store. The wording of it is vague on that, but this obviously will be a great boon for iOS users who upgraded to iOS 6 and discovered that the Apple Maps, the primary ingredient in the Apple Maps, was suckage. And so the one downside is that the Apple Maps, which actually is not that bad. I use it a lot in town, and it works mostly fine. But the Apple Maps have hooks into the operating system so that if you click on it, tap on an address, it brings up, you know, the maps automatically. And so if you use this app, you know, chances are it's not going to have those same kind of hooks. You can't make it your default maps app. So you'll have to bring it up manually. But supposedly it will have turn-by-turn directions, and it'll use the Google data set. So that'll be good.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm sure though that's going to lead to a lot of frustration when people look up an address and are ready for the, do you want to look at this on Google Maps,
right,
that they used to get and still get shunted into the default Apple. But
well, you know, I've noticed that if you're on Chrome, for example, and you tap an address on Chrome in iOS, it will open the Google Maps version. It doesn't automatically take you over to that. I'm curious if Chrome will include hooks to the iOS app once you have it installed.
Is there an extra incentive to go? Won't that be? That'll be interesting to see how much adoption there is of Chrome and Google Maps and all that infrastructure on top of the iOS architecture going forward,
right,
or how many people just use the defaults and suck it up.
Right. I know a lot of people, you know, you have quite a few Google apps out there. There's a new version of Gmail just released. There's the Google Search app. You know, there's a whole bunch of different things. There's Google Voice app. There's a translation app. And so there's already this ecosystem of Google apps for iOS. And they all talk to each other. So if you use a lot of them, it may make sense, you know, to go with this. Plus, worthy. Just ask anybody who lives in Australia. You know that story, Ben?
Yeah, I think people actually got sent out there. I think that some town was showing up as being in the middle of a park where the average temperature got up much too hot to calculate as far as going from C to F. And no sources of water. People actually tried to walk out of the park to get cell phone reception. So I think they're like actually patrolling the area.
Right.
Somewhere out towards, it's not Alice Springs, but
right,
it's somewhere out that direction.
Right. And the police out there basically said, don't use Apple Maps. It's dangerous to use Apple Maps. And so,
although I believe that Google Maps, it sounded like they had a similar problem, though, for the same place. It was not that there was more to it than just
Apple. The you know, I've had Google Maps before they made the switch take me to the wrong place. You know, I remember my wife and I went to a doctor's appointment for her, and the office building put us about a half a mile away from where it actually was. And this was on Google Maps. So, you know, all digital mapping has flaws. And at some point, you know, you may actually have to punt and go with paper. So our phone number, if you want to talk to us, and we'd much rather talk to you than each other, is 713-526-5738. Or 713-526-KPFT. Give us a call. Put a Groove House to work. He'll screen your call and get you on the air in two shakes of a mouse tail.
I mean, you know, if you think about it, you need to call. And I know this sounds like pledge drive stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, you've launched into that
this week speed. And the 19th to call before the end of the world on the 21st.
This is not our last show till the end of the world, is it?
No,
next week.
One more.
We have one more show,
yeah,
before it with Jay.
With Jay Lee, yeah. Jay gets to come back, do one more show, and then everything's
at the
end. Yeah.
And it's over. So we should have like a series finale, don't you think? For
a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
Dun, dun, dun.
The planet finale. I'll have to leave. One of them will leave the show in the next episode.
That's right. That's right.
It turns out everybody was dead. Oh, no.
Well,
so that's been done.
You know, I have to say that I've been using my iPhone 5 now since the device came out, and one of the things that has really impressed me so far is the battery life on it. Yesterday, when I left work, I had 86% of power left. I had unplugged at 9:15, and I didn't use it a lot. You know, I picked it up occasionally. I didn't use it a lot, but enough that that, you know, by the end of the evening, I later went and I watched about 45 minutes of Sons of Anarchy while I was at the gym. And by the end of the evening, when I plugged it back in, I had about 47% left. And that's pretty good. I think that's pretty good for a smartphone with, you know, decent usage.
That's impressive. I know that I saw, let's say, I think it was CNET for their, like, phone of their best phone of the year, though, did not choose the iPhone 5. They chose the Samsung.
The Galaxy S3?
Yeah.
Yeah, that has a really good camera. That does have an excellent camera. I think it's better in low light situations than the iPhone 5. But we do have a call.
Yes, we do. Are we going to hand that off to Groove, or is he busy right now?
Oh, y'all want to run the show? Go ahead.
No, come on in, man. Water's fine.
Computer, hang out, you know, sit in the lobby.
Whatever. All right. Groove.
Hey, what's up?
We got a call?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Who is it?
Are we taking calls?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's what we do, right?
Occasionally.
Okay, well, the number's 713-526-5738 if you want to call, because we've got all lines open. So, but first up in the queue on the show, we're going to speak with Jack.
Hey, Jack, you're on the air.
Hey, man, how you doing tonight?
Good. What can we do for you?
I have an Intel CS630. I have the software on my computer, but it does not see the device. I've gone to try to reload the device again, but it doesn't see it. I've gone to the device manager and tried to update it, and still doesn't see it.
Are you on Windows 7?
No, XP.
XP.
And what is the model number of the camera?
CS630.
Intel CS Charlie Sierra 630.
And how old is this model?
It's old. It's about a good 10 years old at least.
10 years old. Have you? Yeah. You say that you don't see it in the device manager. Do you see any indication that there's anything there?
I do see it in the device manager. It just doesn't have the driver.
Oh, but you do see it in the device manager.
Yes.
When you unplug it, do you still see a reference to it in the device manager?
No, I do not.
What you might try doing is right-clicking on that instance in the and delete it, uninstall it while it's plugged in.
Okay.
And then unplug it, restart your computer so your computer starts up fresh, then plug it in and see if it goes through the process of redetecting it once you've removed it. It could be that there's corrupted drivers or some other files in there, and once you remove it, it'll start the process new as though it was brand new hardware. The other issue is, you know, it's 10 years old, and so it's possible it may have become defective.
Yeah,
well, what happened was I ran my CC cleaner, and I switched to Chrome. I was using Firefox as my
your browser.
Browser, right, exactly. And then I switched to Chrome, and that's when I lost the use of the camera.
That shouldn't have anything to do with it, except Chrome does have the ability to initiate video calls for Google Voice, and I think it's built in. But that shouldn't affect the camera unless it's initiated it. Barrett, do you agree?
No, I would agree. I would say you could also try rolling back to an older driver, you know, uninstall it, like Dwight said. I know that you mentioned one site that you went to and they didn't work, but go try driverscollection.com. And they've got drivers for each of the different OSs, and it looks like they've got they sure do. They've got a driver for XP.
Okay.
It looks like it'll work. So try rolling back. Do that. I mean, if it is a Chrome thing, maybe try uninstalling Chrome just to set your mind at ease. Reboot after the end, you know, after the uninstall, and then see what happens. But it'd be kind of odd that a browser would hijack a video driver, a webcam driver. So
yeah. Well, like I said, I ran CC Clean on as well. I try to keep my my ROM down, you know, pretty good. So I've got software security essentials on there as well, so I'm always constantly cleaning to make sure I don't, you know, get any kind of viruses or anything.
Maybe turn everything off too. Just, I mean, that's, I don't know if that's bad advice, but that's what I would do. If I was running a lot of different packages on there that I was not running at the time of it working, I would go ahead and shut those off just to see if there are any kind of conflicts. And then go grab, just in case they did something, maybe it was an unsigned driver, or maybe it didn't like it. For some reason, go grab the old driver. They've got one from April of 2009, it looks like, for the XP driver. Install that and then see what happens.
Okay, and what was that driver website again?
Driverscollection.com. Don't click on the advertisements, but most of the drivers, I've gone there for drivers a few times. They're pretty solid.
Are they free?
Not fake links or anything.
Are they free?
Yeah, they are.
Awesome.
All right,
man.
Good luck.
It's not for your help, but I love your show.
Thanks. Good night.
Thanks, man.
So, you know, he's got a 10-year-old camera. And, you know, chances are it's probably just like a VGA camera, right? This might
be generic driver.
A generic driver. Or go get a newer camera because you can get an HD camera now that will give you a much better look. The drivers are going to be available and they'll be up to date and it should work fine. This may be an opportunity to upgrade.
10 years old could be like 640 by 480 kind of, this resolutions.
One, yeah, this one does Instagram for free.
Do you have to shake it after you take the pictures?
Did you see there's been this ridiculous back and forth between Twitter and Instagram where Instagram keeps pulling away its interconnections with Twitter. And so now if you look on your Twitter page and there's an Instagram picture, you no longer see the picture automatically. You just get a link that takes you to the website version of it. Today, and I don't know if this is related to any of it or not, but now Instagram is saying that all the pictures that you upload to it must be cropped square. Like perfectly square.
They are.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Groove?
No, they already are.
I think they all are.
Instagram is a square format.
I know, but it's the indication I saw was that they have to be square to be uploaded. Like pre-cropped?
When I shoot a picture with Instagram, it crops it square.
So why do you use Instagram, Groove House?
Just as a, I don't know.
Because a real Polaroid camera is too heavy.
No, it's a social thing. It's, you got friends on there, other photographers. It's like, tweeting a picture.
Do you push your photos to Instagram or to Twitter and Facebook? Where do you consider your main base?
Well, Instagram photos are shown on Instagram. If I take pictures of shows or somewhere, I'll definitely, upload a couple to Instagram just to get my followers over there to see him. But most of the time, pictures I take with my phone on Instagram go straight to Instagram, and I don't use them on anything else.
You don't use them on anything else?
Not necessarily. I mean,
do you think that's the primary way most people use it? Or do they use it with Facebook and Twitter?
I can't answer that. I don't know. I mean, you have the option to upload to Facebook. You have the option to upload to Twitter. You have the,
right.
You know, so a lot of people use it different ways. I mean, I'll throw something up on Facebook every once in a while. I'll definitely use it for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly Instagram pictures taken with my phone or, shots that I want to share.
What's interesting is that there are a lot of camera applications now that load up on filters. Like there's Camera Plus, there's Camera Awesome, there's the Twitter app now has its own filters, which is one of the reasons it's believed that Instagram kind of disconnected itself from Twitter. And I use the filters in Camera Plus mode. That's when I want to use a filter, that's usually what I use. The thing I don't like about Instagram is the cropping, is the fact that it squares you off regardless of it. Mm-hmm. You can use any shape with Camera Plus or Camera Awesome.
But you can also, if you have editing capabilities, you can take a regular photograph and make it square, and it can still be the original photograph.
Right.
So.
Right.
Somebody needs to make one of those apps and call it Cam I Am.
Cam I Am?
Mm-hmm.
I would not take a picture here nor there. I wouldn't take a picture anywhere.
Cam I Am.
Our number is 713-526-5738. If you want to get in on the banter, or 713-526-KPFT.
Or to mercifully end our own banter.
Bad reviews on it would say, that cam I am, that cam I am. I cannot stand that cam I am.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at me.
Take them.
It's your turn to fill the dead air.
It's my turn to carry the show. Please give us a call and don't make me work.
Don't do it that way.
Okay,
yeah.
I thought you were about to do fundraising.
No.
Actually, yeah, you can call in and not give us money.
That's right. Call in and
that would be awesome.
713-526-5738 is the number to be on the air with us.
So it's 12, 12, 12.
It is?
Not the time. And we're going to miss it because by the time it's 12, 12, 12, it'll be 12, 12, 13.
Right, 12, 13, yeah.
So, yeah, I actually missed. I didn't miss it. I was physically present for it, but I did not acknowledge the passing of 12, 12 around lunchtime today.
Yeah, I didn't notice it either.
I think that's a measure of how important and critical and valuable it really is.
There was your calendar, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 13.
Yeah, that's good too, actually. That's pretty good. There's a I kind of don't like date jokes. I think they're kind of hokey, but I did like the one that I saw that was out there that said that this is mic check day.
1-2-1-2-1-2 Beastie Boys Day. New York zip code day. No, New York area code day. And we had calls. We had two calls coming in. My cries for
that's right.
For help.
Now we have one.
Oh, at least one person
is now taking a call. He's furiously gathering information so we can get this person.
Although we do have four more open lines if you want to call in at 713-526-5738.
So we had an excellent geek gathering on Friday.
Yeah, we did. We had some people from the Houston Maker Fair. The Houston Maker Mini Fair came out. So there will be a Mini Maker Fair here in Houston, I think the second or third week in January. January 19th may be the date, out of the Stafford Center.
That's good.
So, yeah, they're not being a Barrett time. We can go ahead and get that information.
Oh, we don't have a Barrett time?
No, I came straight from work. I thought I was going to be about on par with you getting in, but you beat me here.
Yes, and I'm full and have eaten, so we had an excellent staff dinner tonight at Buca di Beppo.
Ooh, that place is fun.
It's fun, but the portions are like, there was literally a 2-foot-long lasagna that came out for us.
It's family of 40 style.
Oh, man, but it was good. We had a good time. All right, so, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Do we have a call?
Yes, we do.
Who might it be?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Velma.
Hey, Velma, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're very good. How are you, Velma?
I'm fine, thank you. I just got off of work, and I was listening to your show on the radio.
That's where it is.
My question is, I'm sorry, I have a very old Canon camera, and it takes blurry pictures. And I bought it secondhand from somebody else, which I know he took good care of the camera. And like I said before, it's probably the user, which is me. Do you have any, I've already done the focus and changed this. And is it the camera that is just, I'm hoping it's not broken.
Maybe this is one for Groovehouse, who knows his cameras.
They're blurry photos.
Yes, sir.
And, how old did you say the camera was?
Oh, this is like one of the original
cameras. It's very possible it's time to get a new one.
Really?
Yeah. If you can hold the camera and push the button halfway and see if it focuses, tries to get focus, then try it like that. But if all your pictures come out blurry, it's possible that something inside the camera could definitely be something.
You could try putting on like maybe something really solid, like, the cement fins or something, and actually setting the timer for like 2 seconds and then taking the picture to where the shutter goes off when you're not touching it, just to make sure it's not you with shaky hands.
Okay. All right.
But if no photos come out clear, then there's
the camera's probably.
I'm just laughing.
I'm just hoping that the camera's not broken. You have a secret or something.
Is this a point-and-shoot camera?
Barrett's like thinking of like something solid, a cement fence or a cement fence, or maybe like a giant earth-moving truck.
Or if I could turn the photos into a piece of art or
there
something.
You go.
I don't know. There you go. I don't know.
Is this a point-and-shoot camera, or is it a DSLR?
It's one of the, the ones that you just click with the finger by itself, that you have to manually shift it over for the next. for the next picture.
Oh, it's a film
camera? It's a film camera.
Yeah, it's an old film camera.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe you could make a... and I don't want to get rid of it because, you know, you never know, later it could be an antique, you know?
maybe you could make a series of art with it and call it 2015.
Oh, okay.
You might have to take it in a shop. You might have to take it somewhere to see if they can take a look at it, fix it. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a film camera, keep it that bad. It may be fixable.
Okay. All right. Well, I heard you talk about cameras. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Let me go ahead and call them and ask about my camera.
Yeah, you might need to take it in and get it, have it looked at.
Okay, I'll do that. Any recommendations? Anybody that you recommend that I should take it to?
Group House, the camera guy. Jay Lee loves cameras. Bring it up to...
Are we allowed to say
Yeah, just don't say how much it costs.
Okay.
I mean, as far as I know, you can try... for camera repair...
I mean, who would you take your camera to?
Well, there is a little place on Richmond by Raging Cajun. You can look for a camera repair shop on Richmond. I don't know the name of it offhand.
Richmond Avenue?
Yeah, Richmond. Okay. You can...
Over by 610.
Yeah, 610 over by Raging Cajun.
Okay.
There's a camera repair shop, so you can look for those guys.
Okay, I will.
All right. Thanks for your call, Velma.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, okay?
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So it's a an analog
camera. I assumed it was a digital camera just because I'm centrist as far as digital stuff goes. It never even occurred to me it'd be like a wind up and thing. At first I thought that's really cool. They let you, you know, they've got a little click thing to remind you of old cameras instead of it actually being an old camera.
To advance the SD card.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be multiple SD cards.
That's
when
right.
One fills up,
hey,
click, next
hey,
SD
let's
card.
Let's get a patent.
All right, we're on it. Nope, Apple already has it. Pure speculation.
It's because the SD card has rounded corners.
Yeah. No more rectangle objects.
So it could be a whole different set of things wrong with it because it's analog.
Yeah, and it maybe there is a focusing ring on there, but if it's truly a point-and-shoot, I mean, it sounds like it needs to be opened up and operated
right,
on.
Right. Could be dust in the motor. The motor may not be turning when she goes to do the...
There's a whole handful of things.
Right.
Slime in the ice machine.
Her film. It could be she could be getting bad film to where things aren't. Well, I guess if it's uniformly out of focus. But, you know, it could be grayed out or, right. I don't know.
So many possibilities.
All right, so we have yet another call.
Yes, we do. And more open lines. Phone number 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. Up next on the show, we're going to speak with George.
Hey,
hello,
George.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Had sewer problems all day, but it kept me off the computer, which may be a good thing. Weird question, but I don't know if it's plausible, but is it ever a point or a time when drivers can be updated or need to be updated?
Oh, you should. If new drivers are available for any of the critical components of your computer, and they're available, you should update them. They usually fix bugs. They may improve performance, particularly for video drivers, video card drivers.
Okay, just went out of my head. I'm still thinking sewer problems.
Unfortunately, a lot of drivers. You're in the right zone.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so that would probably, because what has happened, within the last two or three weeks, prior to that, my scanner and my copier has not been receiving instructions, and I was wondering if maybe I needed to go and find out, does the driver for that operation, does it probably need to be updated, or maybe it's just going
to... It's never a bad idea to keep all your drivers up to date, but did anything else change on the system? Did you install any other software or do anything else between you when it was working and when it stopped?
The only thing, well, I try to stay on top of my updates for the Windows 7. I'm constantly, you know, seeing what's going on and things of that nature, but I never think to, you know, go back through the system and pull up the drivers and see which ones are operating or see which ones are below par or just completely not even functioning. I guess I don't ever give it that, you know, I didn't think it probably was neat. I thought when a driver was installed to make a certain operation, you know, it was it was there to work, you know, keep on functioning. But that's why I called. I wasn't sure if it needed to be upgraded, updated, or whatever it was.
Well, one of the reasons why you want to keep them updated is because Windows is constantly being updated and changing. These drivers have to interact with Windows.
Okay.
And at some point, the drivers may expect Windows to do something a certain way, and an update will change that slightly, and so they don't talk the way they should. Probably the best thing to do in this case, if you've, you know, this is a USB printer and scanner and fax, I presume, right?
Yes, HP LaserJet
right.
Scanner printer right. Copier.
And it connects via USB.
Correct.
All right. So the first thing you want to do is unplug it and plug it into a different USB port. And just see if it...
Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying now. Right.
So you have multiple USB ports on your computer, hopefully.
Right. I'm basically, the desktop, we kind of like got it in operation because the kids got into it and we got a bunch of stuff in it, so it wasn't really functioning. I didn't have the money to have it repaired or have it checked anyway, but so we're doing the laptop thing right now.
So it's plugged into your laptop?
Correct.
And you have installed the software that came with it on the laptop?
Exactly. Like I said, everything was fine until about maybe 2.5, maybe 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And I wanted to scan a document, and it was just matter of fact, and also to copy some information and some coupons and things off of my web search.
Right.
On both instances, it saved it to something. I can't remember exactly.
Well, that's important.
Now,
what it saved to? Does it save it to a hard drive? To a folder?
It saved it to a folder.
All right. So it sounds like Windows may have reset the default printer.
Okay.
You were trying to print something or scan something?
Well, both instances, I was trying to actually print from some things I had on. I bought up off the internet.
You're printing or scanning? You said you were having trouble scanning before.
Yeah. Well, on the documents, I had some documents that I wanted to scan and then put into my computer.
Uh-huh.
To save into another folder.
Right.
And it said saved. It was, if I can remember, I'm dumb. I'm just throwed off right now. It said it wouldn't print it. It said saved to I think it was a folder. Now that I think about it, saved it to a particular folder.
And did you look in that folder to see if there was a document was in there?
I didn't get a chance to go through it.
It may have just put it in a place where you're not used to. If you know what, if you had named it something or know what it might be named, you might do a search in Windows to see if you can find it. It's possible it's working just fine, but it's putting it at some place that you don't know where it is.
Right. And then, like I said, when to try to print some copies from a couple of passages from a book that I was wanting to kind of check out before I actually went and bought it, and it did the same thing, but it did. I'm trying to remember what it said. It didn't say save to folder. It saved it somewhere else.
Well, if you tried to print something and it saved it, Windows has the ability to save it to print to the hard drive instead of to the printer. So what you may want to do is look in your printer folder and make sure that the default printer is actually the one you've connected.
Okay, and is it possible, just on the safe side, is it possible that maybe the driver that operates the printer is probably...
Well, I don't have enough information to tell you that, because the way it sounds like, it's doing something.
Right.
But we're going to have to... We're running out of time.
Hey, George, we can put you on hold and come back to you if you want, but we'll be right back. We've got to say that you've been listening to 90.1 KPFT, Technology Bites.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's... Groove House. 3, 2.
KPFT is holding elections for its board, and our unique bylaws give you the right to vote in the election. And now you have a little more time. Hi, I'm General Manager Dwayne Bradley here with an elections update. KPFT's election period has been extended. Our new deadline for your ballot to be received in New York is December 18th, but you still need to act now and vote this year. Our board helps shape the direction of this station, and your vote makes a difference. Please put your ballot in the mail today. Visit KPFT.org to learn more about the candidates, the station, and how to make a year-end contribution to support your radio station. Please return your ballot in the enclosed postage-paid envelope now. This is KPFT, Houston, Radio for Peace. KPFT encourages all listener members to check your mail stack and send back your ballot today. I'm General Manager Dwayne Bradley here with an elections update. Our election has been extended a full week to give people like you an opportunity to participate. As you probably guessed, the Postal Service didn't send out all those envelopes as freebies. Elections are pricey business, and you help pay for it with part of your pledge. So if it's your right to vote and it's your money, why not get that ballot in right away? Visit KPFT.org to learn more about the candidates, the station, and how to make a year-end contribution to support your radio station. Please return your ballot in the enclosed postage-paid envelope now in order to have it reach the Pacifica Elections Box in New York by Tuesday, December 18th. KPFT, Houston.
And we are... Windows is go.
Windows is back too. Sounds like.
Yes, I'm trying to fix this blue screen of death in my virtual machine. So
it's XP.
No, that was 7.
Really?
Yeah, that was 7.
I thought that was the sound it made. XP made.
No.
And then Vista changed it to something else.
No, that was Windows 7. Sorry.
I think George blue screened while we were doing the station business.
I don't know.
He probably had enough info.
He already had his answer.
All right. Oh, he departed.
He is no longer with us.
Well, the other thing I was going to say, I mean, the steps for George to take is, first of all, to look and see if he's printing to the disk instead of to the printer. Things may have been stored in places where he wasn't expecting, and so he should go see if he can find his documents. But if he's pretty sure that it's not printing to disk, try it in another USB port, and then if not, uninstall everything, get the latest drivers for the printer, and the latest software for the printer, and install that. Just walk back through the steps of installing the printer again, and that should do it.
Yeah, it's always good policy to keep your drivers updated. Usually the scene is the hardware is almost ready to go. There might be like a couple of glitches, but it's good enough to ship, and the quote is, hey, we'll fix it in software.
Right.
So all too often, they put things out the door, and they, hardware manufacturers, video cards, printers, things like that, they'll ship, and, by the time it hits your doorstep, that software that it came with, it's already out of date. They've already made improvements to it. A lot of times, it's niceties, but a lot of times, the first few rounds are bug fixes to where things actually will hang, you'll have issues with it. So, especially if, the first thing you do when you get maybe some new hardware this holiday season and it doesn't work is go to the manufacturer site, get the latest drivers, and give it a try.
Actually, what I recommend to folks, and what I do myself, is whenever I get some new component, I don't use the disk or the USB
straight
thing
to the site.
I go straight to the site and get the latest drivers and use that to install, so that I'm starting out with kind of the most reliable, most bug fixed drivers that I can. All right. We have another call, but we have no Barrett time, right?
No, there's no Barrett time, but we do have 4 open lines. I think people are hearing me enough tonight. I don't think they need an additional Barrett time. And there's not much going on this next week.
That's right. We're coming up on the holiday season, so everybody's chilling, laying back. All right, who do we have, Mr. Groove?
All right, up next, on the second half of the show, we're going to start it off with John.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I had a question about an Android phone. I have an older model, and the Android, I think, is at like 2.2. If I root the phone, is there any way I can upgrade that OS to the higher numbers?
Yeah, chances are you can. Do you know what model of phone you have?
Yeah, it's a Pantech crossover.
Pantech?
Yeah, it is just total third party.
Yeah, Pantech makes their They've been known for like feature phones and like texting phones.
Yeah.
I bet this has a decent keyboard on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has a nice slide-out keyboard.
Right.
Yeah, if you go to XDA Developers, it looks like there are a couple of different ROMs for that handset. So you're in good shape.
Perfect.
So if you can handle rooting and if you can, handle loading a ROM on the phone, it looks like you've got a couple to choose from.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So how? So Barrett, how far up in version can he go on that phone?
I mean, it really just depends. It says like most people had 2.2.1 when they rooted it. There's a 2.3 out there.
That's Gingerbread, right?
That's Gingerbread. It's still better than 2.1,
right?
Yeah, that's the one I have, Gingerbread.
Oh, that's the one you have is Gingerbread?
Yeah, because there was actually an official update for it, and I'm looking for updating the OS to like one of the later versions.
You mean one of the newest versions?
Yeah.
I don't know if that phone can handle that.
Yeah, and you might not want to. The performance tax on some of the newer versions may be a little bit too much for that handset.
Okay, yeah, because it doesn't have a really great processor in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could do it as an experiment if you can find a ROM for it. If you have difficulty finding a ROM to upgrade to it, that may tell you that it's something you shouldn't want to do. It could be you're at the top of that chain.
Yeah, it looks like people aren't actively developing those ROMs anymore. The last one that even had any bit of a cleanup was back in April 2012, and that's still fairly current, but you're not going to see anything new coming out for that handset, it looks like.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, that was my question, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, good luck.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So you've got the Nexus 4.
Right? I have not. Yeah, I don't have to worry about having the latest stuff because it just kind of pushes it out. I would think that since this is, you know, back among, you know, the kind of the blessed Google phones, it's not like the Samsung, that it'll get updates.
And you've had previous Nexus stuff.
Yeah, I've always had the flagship Nexus. I've always tried to get it, you know, day one or very shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of burned on the last handset I carried. But this one, this makes me happy again. It just feels
Why
nice
do you like
to touch.
It?
Well, I mean, it's glass on both sides, which I guess could be fatal eventually, but actually I have another one. So I've got one of the backups.
You have two of those?
In the box, because I can't get bumpers for this. So it's Gorilla Glass, and I'm afraid that one of my new keys might have scratched the front just a bit. Only I know. You've got to get the light just right, but I know it's there. But yeah, it's quad core. It's super silky. It has, you know, Google Maps. Never lost it.
Ooh. All right, 713-526-5738. Give us a call. Be on the air with us. Put Groovehouse to work. He's good at what he does. 713-526-KPFT.
Now, are you totally Androidless now? You had the Galaxy Note, too, at the Geek Gathering.
No, I have the Galaxy Note right now. In fact, I'm running off the Galaxy Note's hotspot. I haven't written about this yet. I'm probably going to do it this week. But it is, I actually really like this phone. This is a 5.8-inch Android behemoth. Phone. It's a behemoth. And I've made a couple of calls on it, and I really feel like a dork holding it up to my face. But I also use my phones a lot with Bluetooth. And so I'm not holding it up to my face. And I could see myself owning one of these.
Now, what's battery life like on that? Does it
forever,
comes with a pretty beefy
lasts
battery.
Forever, yeah. And it's the battery's replaceable, so you know you can get a second battery and do that with it. It's got an SD card, so you can an SD slot, so you can upgrade the storage. The screen is just, I love the screen. It's one of the
that's pretty bright.
It is one
it's
of
huge.
The nicest screens, and it's great for watching video.
Starting to grow on you, huh, Dwight?
It is starting to grow.
Ah, yeah.
So there's a chance. I almost went Android this time
with the S3 or
with
last
the
S3, time, right?
Right. I came very close to it, and it was a variety of other factors, including all the money I'd spent on apps and iOS, and then I liked kind of what they had done with the iPhone 5, and so I stuck with it. But I'm always looking for something better, and I could easily see myself jumping to something like this. I would just have to decide if I wanted to carry something that big.
Would you ever dual wield? I mean, you kind of are now. I just guess by the position of having to carry around some review things, you always have more than one unit on you.
I have more than one unit, but my phone is my phone, and but that's kind of I carry my phone in my shirt pocket, and in fact, I buy you know, casual shirts for the weekend, and I always make sure there's a pocket in
that's
the top.
That's pretty nerdy.
It's pretty geeky.
It looks like a pocket protector.
It does look like it's the new pocket protector. And it's so big that I'm not sure I want to do that, you know?
Lopsided shirt. Well, you looked like Iron Man earlier. You actually had it flipped around where the screen was out, the phone was on,
right.
It was glowing
right.
Tony Stark
style. In
fact,
you know what they ought to do is make an Iron Man app, the hard app that looks like
that would be cool.
So you
put that one, chest and or nipples going to get a good workout.
Yes, I know. I'm you know, 10 years from now, I'm going to have a rectangular ring of cancer around my...
You can't have that. Apple patented it.
Sorry, cancer with curved edges around my breasticle area. 713-526-5738. Call us, ask us a question, put us out of your misery, and we'll answer your computer questions.
Well, that was a really disturbing word you used.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time putting that
don't,
in my head.
Don't ever say that again.
Yeah, don't.
It's too late to hit the dump button, isn't it?
I don't, well, that, there's nothing that much wrong with that, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with that.
Conversely, there's not much right with that either.
That's right, 713-5265.
We do have a call coming in. We could use some more, but we'll let Groovehouse get this one queued up.
That's right. So one of the other interesting things that that happened this week, besides the thing with Twitter, was Facebook made some changes today in its privacy policies. So before, on Facebook, if you wanted to, you could have an account, but you could hide it from Facebook's own search. Soon, that will go away. If you have an account on Facebook, you will be findable. And that, I think, will probably upset some people. The flip side of it is Facebook is going to add a one-button block feature where you can simply click something and that person will not be able to communicate with you anywhere in the Facebook system, which right now you kind of have to dig down into the privacy settings and designate that you don't want certain people to be able to communicate.
So one click block.
One click block, but no hiding. You can run, but you cannot hide on Facebook. So that it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, Groovehouse, I see we have a call.
Yes, we do.
Who be it?
All right, up next, we're going to speak with Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hey, I'm having some problems with my laptop. I'm thinking it's a hardware error, but I want to talk to someone who might know better to see.
Okay.
Whenever I turn it on, it doesn't do the laptop startup screen. I have an old XPS 1850, and it runs up. It says Dell. It says loading XPS 1850, and then it does the Windows 7 startup screen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't do that. It just goes straight to my login menu, and the display is really dim, and I've tried going in and seeing if it's something to do with my graphics card or anything, and I can't really figure out how to do it. But sometimes, if I shut it down and turn it back on enough times, it'll start up normally, and the screen will be normal.
So when you say it doesn't go through the Windows 7 startup,
It just has a black screen with like the backlighting on.
Uh-huh.
Until it gets to my login screen, and then it will show up really dim, hard to see, like lowest possible brightness my screen will display
up. Have you tried starting it in safe mode?
I don't know how to do that with the function keys, and I can't. It doesn't give me a screen to. With options to do it.
Well, and it will if you do this. I believe it's F8, right? Is
possibly, yeah. Right. I believe, normally,
what you do is after once you see the Dell BIOS screen, then you start hitting F8 repeatedly.
Yeah, but see, what I'm saying is it doesn't show the Dell BIOS screen. It just kind of shows the blank screen with the backlight. And it does that for about a minute or two, and then my login screen
shows
up.
Oh, so you don't get any,
No BIOS, no Windows 7 startup noise or startup screen, nothing. Just, it sits there for a couple minutes, and then my login screen shows up.
Is this machine in warranty?
Hmm? Is this? Oh, no, it's. Four or five years old.
It's 4 or 5 years old. It sounds like it. That does sound like a hardware issue. I mean, if you're not even seeing the BIOS screen start up, then that, you know, you have probably an issue at the system level, I would suspect. You agree?
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I was contemplating trying reinstalling Windows, but I didn't think it was. I figured it was hardware, so I didn't think it would do anything, so I may as well just leave it as it is.
Yeah, again, if you're not even seeing that, when it does start up normally, do you see the BIOS screen?
Yeah, when it starts up normally, I see the BIOS screen, but I have to shut it down and turn it on and shut it down probably 100 times before it'll actually start correctly.
It does sound kind of hardware-y, but I would, if you do get it to, you know, like the ninth time it actually boots in, maybe just go make sure that your video drivers are completely up to date. I mean, that's the only thing software could possibly be.
Right. I've tried updating my drivers for my... I have an NVIDIA on the NVIDIA graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried updating my video drivers, and all of them say that they're up to date and at the newest model.
It's kind of dicey sometimes, but have you tried updating the firmware on the video card itself?
I wouldn't know how to do that either. I'm not that tech-savvy.
Most video cards don't really
require that anymore.
But what you may want to do is look to see if there's an update for the BIOS. And that may, you know, if you may have some issues there that a BIOS update would fix. Dell would have that at the support area on the website. The other thing you can do is once you can get where you see the BIOS screen, see if you can go into those settings and just look to see if the time and date is correct, to see if the because it could be that your battery, the CMOS battery is weak, and it may be having problems reading some data from the BIOS as a result of that. So that may be something else to look at.
I do think whatever what's happening is happening before it boots into Windows.
Right.
So it's during that boot up process. So it's something low level, like Dwight said, like the main board, firmware, or it could just be a hardware issue and it's just going out. You might not have too many more successful boots left in there,
right.
So.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of leaving it on.
Well, there you go.
I'm just leaving it on with the... Oh, and another thing, if I have it on, this is the thing that really made me think it was a hardware issue. If I have the screen open, if I close the screen, when I open the screen, like a third of the screen on the right goes black, and it shrinks the window down to fit the rest of the screen. And I haven't been able to figure out how to fix that.
Yeah, that sounds
like changing it, like putting the display to sleep and bring it back up. But again, it could be in an edge case. It could be a hardware issue too. Somehow, maybe with just the bending of the screen or something.
How old is this? You say
4 or 5 years. I think I got it back in 2008.
Yeah. I would look see if there's a BIOS update for it. See what it looks like when you go in there and look at the settings. And if none of those work, I think it may be time for a new machine.
Oh, I've already been saving for a new machine.
There you go. All right. Hope that helped.
Thanks for the help.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
All right. So,
looks like, we've got just about a full bank of calls now. Groovehouse has taken the last call, and then he'll be able to queue us up. We can actually do it ourselves here. We can go by length of hold, just like old times, and that is going to be George.
Hello, George.
You're on the air with Technology Bites.
I made it back.
Ah, we weren't sure if you blue screened or what happened, or if you just you solved your own problem.
A call came through, and when I said hello, hello, hello for the third time, they didn't say anything, and I said a couple of expletives, and needless to say, I didn't get no more calls. But anyway, I think the other question I wanted to ask you guys before actually lost my mind. I was trying to find a book, and I wanted to check out a couple of passages before I actually was going to go and physically buy the book. And I didn't know no better. My wife was, she had been studying, finally completed and graduated and got her associate's degree, and she had a deal on there called Toshiba Books. Okay, I pulled it up, and thinking I was going to, get a list and it'd tell me what, I'd tell what books I was looking for and et cetera, et cetera. But come to find out, it was a program for her studies. But anyway, it was telling me that it was an update available. Okay, and I didn't want the update, so I was clicking on close, and I was getting that little Windows ding-a-ling telling me that it wouldn't let me do that. And I tried 3 or 4 different ways and 3 or 4 different options. The only thing that finally ended up happening to get rid of it was literally I had to log off and shut down, literally, just to come back and, go to the right site to check out this book passage. Why does that happen?
Well, it depends on how the update mechanism works. There may be another thing you can click that would close it, or did you try just hitting the escape key?
I tried to hit the escape key, and it was like one of those, because I had a weird encounter right at the first of this year, where somebody posing as a person with, I think it was with Google,
saying that we needed to do this and do that, and it was turned around to where they was starting to cost. It was a price to it, and my wife told me, let me look at it, and she looked at it, and one thing led to another, and she kind of thought it was probably some kind of...
Right, that's a common scam, but in this particular case, it probably was just an update.
Okay.
And you know, if it's on a Toshiba laptop, and it's Toshiba software...
That was a needed part. That was needed for
well,
that.
It may have not have been needed.
People are calling it bloatware. You don't necessarily bloatware. Need it. What I would do, are you on XP? Are you on Windows 7?
7.
It still has an MS config where you can go and remove things out of the startup. This probably has like a Toshiba software update or something that's running in your system tray. And if you keep that from starting up, you should be able to uninstall it. That's probably what's running in the background, preventing the uninstall.
Yeah, I would just... The other thing is go ahead and let it do it. Because if it's, you know, if it's an update for software that came with it, it's probably fine to just let it do it, and then you can go on about your business.
Well, that's what my wife was saying. She was saying, well, hey, if Toshiba sent it, I said, yeah, but remember that phone call we got, and somebody was sounding like they was from the Mideast and trying to sell us on two or three?
Yeah, that is a common scam. The Toshiba software update is not.
Okay, sounds like a plan. All gentlemen, right. I thank you again, and I'm so glad you guys reached all the way up here to, I shouldn't say Death City, but up here to Huntsville, Texas, to lay your benefit to a lot of folks, believe it or not.
Oh, nice. That's 89.7?
Yes, sir. I get y'all on both channels. I get you on 90.1 and 89.7.
All right.
Oh, you could do this in stereo. That could be fun.
It's quad, because both have stereo channels.
Nice. Well, thanks for your call.
All right, have a good night, George.
Of course, my wife already thinks I got a whole other world by myself without having to be in a man cave.
All right, have a good night.
You guys have a good night, and thank y'all so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Another satisfied customer, we hope. All right, who's next, Groovehouse?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with an old friend of ours, Members Only.
Members Only. You know Jay's not here, right? You're just stuck with us.
I didn't know Jay wasn't here, but that's okay. You guys are, well, you have other Mac experts, right?
Well, it'll be just like old times, only less abuse. That's the only difference on this call.
Yay! All right, so I have Mac-specific questions in classic members-only style, because I'm sure I should know the answer to these things. First of all, my computer is so full. It was a gift from some friends a few Christmases ago, and they kindly filled it with music and movies for me, which at first I thought was great, but didn't work out so well. They really put a lot of stuff on there. So now I find myself so full that the iTunes, Chronic iTunes needs an update thing that pops up, and you, like, every day, and you tell it, okay, go ahead and update.
You don't have enough space to run it.
It doesn't have enough space to even do the iTunes update. So I tried to go delete a few movies, full-length movies that they had somehow put on my computer, and I guess I did this before because it says it can't find the movie, but it looks like it's still taking up space.
Have you gone and emptied the recycle bin?
I have emptied the recycle bin.
Or the trash, rather. Trash on the Mac, sorry.
Yes, trash, recycle, anything I could find. But what I can't find on my Mac is what I used to have on Windows, where you can go check. It used to give me like a pie chart of how full it was so I could see if it was actually going away, if I was making space.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find anything to show me if I'm actually making space.
Well, one way to do that, if you go into the Finder, which is just, you know, your average, you know, the window that comes up when you're looking at the file system.
Yes.
If you look down at the very bottom, it should, and depending on what version of OS 10 you're running, it should say how many different items are in the current folder you're in. And like mine right now says, mine, I'm also low on space, not as bad off as you, but it says like 7.81 gigabytes available.
Okay.
The other thing you can do is you can right-click on the hard drive icon.
Okay.
And say get info.
Okay.
And or control-click. And that will give you a chart that shows you how much space you have. So, for example, I just did it. My capacity on this hard drive is 749.3 gig, and I've got 520 gig available. So okay. That's another way to tell how much is on your drive. However, when you say you're trying to delete it, are you trying to delete the movie files from iTunes, or are you trying to delete them from the
disk
From the disk itself.
iTunes. I didn't know to go to a disk.
Right.
And then in iTunes, even though the name is there, when I say move to trash, it says it can't find it.
All right, so I forget where movies are stored in iTunes.
It's under users, and then your username, and then there's an iTunes folder, and then underneath there, there's something I think called TVs and TV and movies, then it's underneath there. So it's stored in with the music. It's kind of in a weird place.
Right. It goes your name, music, iTunes, and it may be iTunes music, mm-hmm. depending on the oldest version of iTunes you have in there. Okay. And then you can go and find a folder and look in there. If it doesn't show it, and you've cleaned out the recycle bin...
Yeah.
Either you've moved it to another folder and don't realize it,
okay.
or you have removed it and you need to remove some more.
Okay.
Do you have an external drive anywhere? Do you have anywhere you can, instead of just, you know, deleting these movies, unless they deserve to be deleted, do you have anywhere else you can back them up to?
I bought an external drive like 3 years ago, and I don't know why. I'm scared to use it. It's still in the box. Somehow I feel like I'm going to erase everything I have if I use that thing.
You will not.
You only make a copy of it, which is kind of what you want to do. I mean, don't copy everything over and then delete the whole operating system, but just move it over. You can actually see that it's there.
Here's what will happen with if you take it out of the box, power it up, and plug it into a USB port. You'll get a request from the Mac OS that asks whether you want to use this as a Time Machine drive. And what Time Machine does is it automatically backs everything up. For your purposes at the moment, that's not what you want to do.
Okay, because that would double the amount of space I'm using, right?
No. What it would do is it would make a mirror, a copy of what is on your hard drive at the moment for backup purposes.
Which would take several hours.
It would take probably overnight when you start it. So what you want to do right now is just go ahead and say no, and it will then take and put on your desktop an icon for that drive. And you can navigate that drive just like you can navigate the hard drive of your Mac. And so you open that up, you make a folder like, you know, or what you can do is you can go and find in the folder for iTunes with all the music and the movies, you can copy it over. Just copy the iTunes folder over. That'll take a while. It's going to take a long time if you have a lot of stuff. And then... go in and delete that from your folder and clear out the recycle bin, do your installation, and then move the folder back.
Oh, okay.
So it's essentially just a copying thing. The one thing to keep in mind is you want to make sure after you've made the copy from your hard drive to the external drive, that it's a good copy and that everything's in there, because you're going to delete it off of your Mac and then move it back over.
How do I make sure it's a good copy?
I just go in and randomly look, make sure that all the songs are where they're supposed to be and that you're seeing the stuff that you need, that you want to be there. And, you know, just make spot checks in various places. It'll take a long time to make the copy. It may take several hours, depending on how fast the drive is.
Okay.
And then you can come back and fix it, you know, and replace it later. Peter, am I saying anything wrong in those steps?
No, that sounds right to me.
Well, I have a concern. I was thinking that I wouldn't be able to put the stuff back on my computer because now there's not enough space. But when it does the update, I guess it gets rid of something also.
It gets rid of something. And also, anytime you do a large update of software, it needs extra space in order to unpack files and do temporary files. It needs more than the minimum. And so when it's done, it'll clean up the temporary files and the extra space that's needed, and you'll have you'll have the space back again.
That sounds easy. And ignorant quick question, what's bigger, a gigabyte or an MB?
A gigabyte is much bigger than a megabyte by 2 powers of 10.
The other option that you have, if you want to, is you could keep your media, your music and your movies, on that external drive, particularly if it's bigger than your existing hard drive. So what you could do and this is a little more complicated, but what you could do is leave it on the external drive, leave the external drive plugged in, iTunes at that, clear out your iTunes library, iTunes at the external drive and say, that's where my music is. And then that's where it would go to get it every time, and then your hard drive would have a lot more room in general.
So if I know there's a crap load of music on there I do not want, I could actually, like you said, leave it on the external drive, clean out my iTunes, and then slowly, song by song, move over what I do want?
Yes, folder by folder, artist by artist, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds the way.
So okay. Essentially make that external drive a staging area for cleaning up your hard drive.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and I think I'm not scared of it anymore. And if by chance somehow I got a hard external drive that is not big enough, I'm not going to screw anything up. It's just going to tell me it can't do it, right?
Yeah, you'll eventually run out of space, but chances are it's large enough to where you can free up enough space to at least take the iTunes update.
Do you know what it says on the box in terms of space?
I don't, because I got it like 3 years ago, and I'm driving home from out of town right now.
It's probably at least 100 gigs, I would assume, 3 years ago, you think?
Or 250.
Yeah, 250. So probably more than enough space. Probably enough space to do a full backup, but definitely enough to move off a handful of movies and probably all your music.
Seems like somebody, like when I bought it, the same guys who gifted me this said that that it was big enough to back up my computer and I should do that, and then I just got intimidated and did not. It's
put it in a box for 2 years.
if you decide you want to use Time Machine, if you decide you want to use this for Time Machine, the way Time Machine works is you plug it in the first time, it makes a full image of what's on your hard drive now, and then every hour it looks for changes and backs up the changes.
Wow.
And so, and you don't have to do anything. You just leave it plugged in, and every hour it looks and does a backup. Over time, it consolidates it. So it takes, like, all the hourly backups from yesterday and makes them a one-day backup. And then it takes everything for the last month and makes it 1 month backup.
Oh.
It's very smart. And so you can go back to any point in time and recover something. So if you had a document sitting on your hard drive a month ago, and it's been deleted a month ago, but you know it was there, you can go look on your hard drive in the time period of a month ago, and you will see your hard drive as it was on that date, and you can pull the document off. That's how it works.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I knew this machine did a lot of things I didn't understand. Thank you.
All right.
Yes. Can I ask you one yes or no question? Also, I feel like I've taken an exorbitant amount of time.
Go ahead.
If there is a movie that I can see for free, for instance, a YouTube thing, does that mean I can also download it somehow on Mac?
Oh, as far as legally, or as far as is there a way to go do it?
Okay, that's the question right there. Legally, I wondered, but not so much YouTube. I just, you know, a friend's got a movie up that's free, and I just kind of, I'm going somewhere over the holidays where we won't have any Wi-Fi, and I wanted to be able to put it in my computer so we could actually watch it.
I haven't done this in a while. They'd shy away from any pieces of software that want you to buy them, usually at the price of $29 that'll convert that. But there used to be a couple of different sites where you could go. You would enter in the URL of the YouTube video, and you could download it as an AVI or as, you know, what have you. I'm looking around and seeing what that is.
Okay.
Let's see. Do you use Firefox by any chance?
I don't believe so.
Okay, there's some plugins. There's an easy YouTube video downloader plugin for Firefox.
Okay.
But yeah, just go look out there, do YouTube video download, Google that. Don't buy anything.
Okay.
Don't click on anything suspicious.
Okay.
Also, you use Mac in that search, because I think that there's, on a lot of the stuff, I think there's actually like a copy in your cache, and that you can grab the copy out of your browser cache, and it tells you how to find that.
Oh. I'm not quite sure what a cache is, but I think that means it's already on my computer, right?
Yeah, it saves a local copy somewhere, and you can just go and grab that on whatever folder it happens to be in.
Okay.
It looks like, if you run Chrome by any chance?
Man, I don't know.
No, it's a browser.
Email and music.
There's an extension for downloading and saving YouTube videos off there, too. It probably just grabs it out of the cache, though, like Peter said.
Okay. Wow, I love Jay, but you guys are really more gentle.
We'll tell him that.
Okay, love y'all. Thank you so very much for this wealth of knowledge.
All right, thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
We're gentle.
Yeah, I don't think she realizes that Jay, relatively speaking, is a newcomer to the back.
Yeah, that's right. Although she is too, isn't she? Hadn't she?
Sounds like it. Yeah, fairly new.
Yeah, I think she's a noob. 713-526-5738. We have some calls, but we also have some open lines. If you want to join us, this has gotten pretty lively.
Who do we have, Groovehouse?
All right, up next, we're going to speak with Larry.
Larry, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello. Excuse me. Caught me by surprise there. I have a 5-year-old Dell. desktop. And it's been off for about a year and a half. It hasn't been used. And I fired it up again, and I started getting the blue screen saying that, you know, whatever it says about you might have hooked up some hardware, some software that's not working, blah, blah, blah. So by the process of elimination, I found that I had a bad memory stick in there, and I replaced that. And I kept finding some, you know, kept having some problems with it. Eventually, I completely did a refresh on my operating system, kind of like a repair. I'm trying to remember all the things that I've done. I also bought a 40-inch HD TV that I wanted to use as a second monitor. So for me to be able to use it as a second monitor, I bought a basic NVIDIA card that had the HDMI out as well as the VGA out. So now I have got the second monitor thing working. But here recently, I'm getting that blue screen. I'm continuously getting that blue screen. I guess my question is there something that can tell me exactly what is causing the problem? What piece of hardware is causing the problem that I keep getting this blue screen? I can boot up. And sometimes it'll let me log in, and within, say, a minute or two, it goes to the blue screen.
Most blue screens are caused by hardware issues. It can be caused by a variety of things related to a hardware issue. It can be bad memory. It can be a faulty video driver. If there's no particular thing other than just being on online for a period of time, it's possible it's memory. The simplest thing to do, what I would start with, is see if you can update your video and audio drivers.
Okay, now I did I installed the software that came with the NVIDIA.
No, that's not what you want to do. That's not an update. That's using the software that came with it, which is out of date by the time you get it. What you need to do is go to NVIDIA's website.
Which is where I did. I actually got it from NVIDIA's website.
Okay, you said you got the software that came with it, so.
Well, I meant that matched up, because I actually can't find the disk that came with it.
Right, well, that's good.
Yeah, I actually downloaded it from the website last night. Did I mention that I have XP on there? Maybe not, but I do have XP. But go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Right, so update the drivers. Also update your audio card drivers. And if it's still doing it, you may have a memory issue. Is this a notebook or a desktop?
It's a desktop, and at the beginning, I said that process of elimination, I did find that I had a bad memory stick in there, which it was a 1 gigabyte stick, and I replaced it with a 2, so I was thinking that I eliminated the possibility of it being a memory.
Well, so you have a 2, and do you have any other sticks in there?
Yeah, I have. It has 4 slots. I think I have 1 512, 2 1 gig, and 1 2 gig.
Which ones of those are original? Can you possibly take out all of the original sticks and only have the new replacement ones in there? Or is that how you have it right now?
Well, no, I'm not by it, but yeah, I can. I can. You mean just it came with the 2 512?
So is it? Did you match the types and the speed of memory?
Well, they told me that it was, what's the word that they use? It's a newer kind of memory. I just bought this memory about a month ago, and they said the speed is, what's the word that they use? Where it's meant to go faster, it will automatically downgrade itself to.
Well, no, because you got some bad information. You need to match the type of memory. There are different parameters for memory, different specifications for memory. So there's the speed, there's the interrupt, the CAS timing on it. You need to make sure that, and it's best to have the same sizes, particularly in a newer machine, the same sizes. So you want like 3, if it's got 3 slots or 4 slots, you want like 2 gigabytes in each slot. To have,
I thought that was an old outdated.
No,
you don't have to have that anymore, but it does. Usually, if you've got paired memory all the way across, not like parity memory, it does perform better.
You're having issues that sound like memory problems, and if you've got memories where the timings don't match and the speeds don't match, that's probably your issue. How much total right now does it have in it? Total memory.
It counts up about 3.5 gigs, something like that.
3.5 gig, and is it Windows XP 32 or 64?
32.
All right, so the max you can really do is about 4 in there. So what I would do is I would go and get a second 2 gigabyte stick that matches the one you have now.
Okay.
And get rid of the others.
Okay.
What about just running? Just run for a little while just on that single 2 gig stick, yeah. And then if you don't have the issues, you know, it's safe to go out. If you want to add more memory, add another 2 gig stick versus, right, you know, having to make an unnecessary trip. But that would kick out all the old bad RAM, because what you might have done is, you know, rooted out a problem where one of the sticks was definitely bad. But if one of those 2 512s or, you know, whatever they happen to be is still one of the originals, you could have other issues that are just, you know, cropping up later. So I would say just run with only the brand new stick and see what happens.
By itself? Just
by itself, yeah. Take out all the other denominations, only run with the brand new one and see what happens with that.
Okay, I'll try that. Can I ask one more question?
Mm-hmm.
I have a program, I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. It's called S-Link-E. It runs on serial card. It controls these Sony 300 CD boxes where you can control them from your computer. And recently, when I tried to hook it up, it doesn't work anymore. And I get the message that I wish I was at the computer, because it's saying something about my serial port are no longer available.
Maybe your COM port?
COM port, yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably what happens. And if you updated, and so what you said, you've got XP? You're running XP?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, you want to make sure. You could be running on a virtual COM port or an actual COM port, but those numbers may have changed because some piece of software might have come in and seized one of the COM ports. Uh-huh. So there should be some setup software. I'm assuming you've got like the CD Mega Storage 300 or something along those lines. Is what it's attaching to, like one of the big changers?
Yeah, the Sony, Mega Changers.
Yeah, you should. So whatever piece of software is, well, I guess you want to do two things. The first thing you want to do is when everything's hooked up and powered on, go into the device driver section under system and then hardware, and it should list what COM ports are available. And then you want to go into the actual software, the Sony software, and then there should be a place where you can configure it and tell it what COM port that CD changer's on, and just make sure that you've got the right COM port selected.
See, that's the problem. I think that it lists about maybe, 8 COM ports? 8 or 12? I don't remember how many, but it's telling me that none of them are available to me.
And you've tried each one of them all the way?
Tried each one of them. I tried to reassign it, and it said this one's not available. And I'm wondering who took it over. Well, how did they were available at one time, and now all of a sudden something has happened. I don't know if it was Windows update or something happened in the background.
Did you always have that many COM ports? That's a lot of COM ports, unless you've installed some virtual COM ports.
I could be wrong. I know it's more than like 4 or 5. I want to say 8.
That's doable, but now on the back of the machine, do you have that many serial connections, or you just have 1 or 2 serial connections?
It's a card that has 2 serial connections.
Yeah, those are going to be virtual COM ports. So chances are you're going to be looking for COM0 or COM1, although it could be aliased up somewhere else. I might even try removing some of those virtual COM ports, because it sounds like something's trying to grab it and create another one, and then it's not going, so it tries it again.
Because it used to work on 1.
Yeah, I would assume it would be one of the 2 lowest COM ports listed that you have. If you can find the software again, like from the Sony site, you could try uninstalling it and then reboot. You know, take the serial connection actually out of the computer, reboot, and then try reinstalling it and see if it redetects that COM port.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give that a shot. I'll just run on the brand newest memory and try to. Well, did you say that if nothing else fails, that I mean, if nothing else works, that I should go in and try to eliminate all the rest of those COM ports by deleting them? Can I just?
You should be able, if they're, I'm guessing they're virtual COM ports, you should be able to go into system and then into hardware, and they should list under, you know, under the COM ports, you should be able to right-click and uninstall them. Oh. And then on that reboot, if for some reason there really is a COM or something's parading as a COM port, XP should identify it again on the next boot and try and reinstall some software for it, which it should probably get from the web. But that's, you know, the COM drivers are going to be controlled by whoever makes the main board, so... You might want to go out to the vendor site and go ahead and maybe see getting the most up-to-date drivers for that.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your help.
All right. Good luck, Larry.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, COM ports. I haven't had
that's old school stuff. Yeah,
serious old school stuff.
I do only because all the Arduino stuff it talks over serial connections, so it wants right. COM ports. And a lot of like the you know, Windows 7 doesn't really ship with COM ports anymore, so you've got to go in and do virtual COM ports, at least over USB ports. So it gets kind of hairy.
Can you install a physical serial
you can.
Card?
You can, but that's pretty rare for someone to have eight of them. Usually, you have stuff like when you're managing like KVMs or when you're doing, you right. know, like data center management. And even those are kind of going away. Everything's going to be over IP.
I would need
over
one for my 28.8 baud modem.
Oh, you should upgrade to 56.6, which can still be pushed over serial.
That's just
maybe
too fast.
Just too fast.
Yeah, I get wind.
Any information worth having is worth waiting for. Huh?
Exactly. I'm in the newspaper business. That's my philosophy. 713-526-5738. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show, really.
Like one or two actual calls and a speed round call or us doing all kinds of banter that you probably don't want to hear.
You don't want to hear it. So 713-526-5738. We're also all getting pretty tired. I know Flicted is like exhausted in there. His head keeps hitting the microphone. I've seen him drool a few times on the board. He
came in short on sleep and then dropped some food bombs on that. So, yeah, that just kind of tends to put one over.
That's right. That was some serious burrito action there.
I upgraded my Skype.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Just in case maybe Skype was the problem.
How far back were you on versions?
5.8.0. It's on 6.0 now.
Huh. It's got that good Microsoft juiciness to it now with it, that they've had it for a while. All right, so we got some calls starting to come in, so Groovehouse will grab them, talk to you briefly, make sure you're not a terrorist, and then we'll take your call. 713-526-5738 on Technology Bites. We had mentioned earlier that we had a really, really excellent geek gathering on Friday. If you have never been to a geek gathering, they're every the first Friday of every month. At this new place, Cons, which is at Milam and Drew, it's an excellent place to do a meetup like this. If you've never been, I would urge you to come. It really is a good time.
All right, looks like Groovehouse is wrapping up a call, and he'll be able to give us one pretty soon. Unless we actually, in the interest of time, we should probably just go ahead and talk to Jason.
You're on the air. Jason, good evening.
Sorry, what?
You're on the air. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm building a machine, and I've got 32-bit Windows XP, and I was hoping that I would be able to upgrade to 64-bit Windows 7 Ultimate Edition. I've got the upgrade version that's light at the site licensed for my university, and I've heard various things about whether it's even possible to upgrade from 32-bit to 64-bit. Some people say yes, you can. Other people say no. You guys have any ideas?
You cannot do an upgrade on top of Windows XP going from XP to Windows 7. You will have to do a clean install. But it will see the version of Windows XP, and it will let you install the 64-bit version because the 32-bit is there, and you have an upgrade an upgrade disk. But you will not keep your programs and data. Actually, what it will do, it will give you the option to archive your Windows XP installation. So it'll put it all in a folder called Windows.old, and you can go in there and pull out your data. You will not be able to use the programs that are stored in there.
Well, I actually don't have anything on here anyway. It's just I had a CD that was from a prior install that I was going to use for this, you know, just as to piggyback on top of this so that I could force the install of the 64-bit Windows 7. And
oh, it will work. That'll be fine. Just, you know, you don't have to have 64-bit Windows XP to install 64-bit Windows 7.
Okay. And actually, probably this is, you know, I was actually wanting to create a multi-boot. I was wanting to multi-boot with Ubuntu as well. But I figured, I also heard that, you know, I like to play around with getting a Hackintosh. Any of you tried that before on a Wintel box?
I have not done a Hackintosh.
Peter has, I believe.
Oh, really? How are the updates?
Sorry, we've got Peter.
Peter, you're not on the phone with us anymore?
I'm sorry, what?
We thought we had someone from San Antonio that's been running a Hackintosh for a couple years now that we were going to reach out to and ask, but...
You do. Okay. I was trying Skype, and... It didn't,
updates
work.
Might be problematic.
The updates can be, you have to be careful. It's one of those where I did just several updates and it was no sweat. They just went right through. And then sometimes you'll hit one where they change something important and then you're digging through trying to find the right texts to put, to get your sound back or to get Bluetooth to work or any of those kinds of things.
Okay. I guess it'd be pretty hilarious for me to bring my box up to the Apple store and ask somebody for help, huh?
Yeah, they're not thrilled with that. Although, I mean, basically making a Hackintosh has gotten simpler. The main deal is just that you want to wait and follow a Hackintosh site and make sure that an update is sort of approved. They'll tell you, oh yeah, no, it was no sweat, and go ahead and run it, or they'll tell you what to do to run it through and not have problems.
Well, if they were smarter, they would probably authorize a version to run on normal Intel software so you could, you know, because I know there's plenty of people that would be interested in running OS X in virtual or you know, on their normal Wintel box.
Yeah, they didn't become the largest company in the United States by giving anything away.
No, of course not. In fact, I don't particularly like them. I feel dirty when I use their products, but I don't know. I like their system. OS X is pretty elegant. OS. All right, well, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
I'll try what you suggested then for my upgrade.
All right, good luck, Jason.
All right, thanks a lot. Right. Bye.
Good night. All right, we've got a couple of people in the queue. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's first?
With about 7 minutes left in the show, we're going to go with Gail.
Hey, hi. Gail. You're on Technology Bites.
Hi, this is Gail. So I have a problem with the Internet Explorer, I guess. I get to Internet Explorer, you know, the home page that comes up and everything. But then when I type something into the search engine, there are these tabs on the side, and it says redirecting. And so then what happens, it takes you to this green arrow that says click here, and then all these, you know, these websites come up, I guess. I mean, they're links to websites. So I don't know what's happening. It doesn't do it every time, but it does do it a lot.
When you say that you're typing something into the search engine bar, is that part of the browser? Is that like the Bing bar? Is it a Google bar? Is it something branded with the search engine?
Probably a Yahoo bar.
Well, it sounds like you have probably some kind of spyware or a virus on your computer. Do you have antivirus software, anti-spyware software on that machine?
Yeah, somebody put it on there. But I don't know. It's not supposed to expire. They put some on there that wasn't supposed to expire. It updates every so often. But
do you know what the name of it is?
It's
it's either Norton or McAfee.
Well, Norton or McAfee will expire if you don't pay for it periodically. Uh-huh. Are have you kept up? Have you paid for an update to it?
Well, no, and you know, usually that comes up. I mean, the last person who worked on my computer put something on there that it was, you know, like a lifetime thing. So I don't know if it was Norton. I thought it was either Norton or McAfee.
Just to make sure.
I'm not on the computer now, so I'll check it and see.
Yeah, just to make sure, click on start, and it should show up somewhere under one of those folders. You bring it up, and it should tell you if it's out of compliance or if it's, corporate, if it's expired, it should tell you.
Yeah.
And then you can make the choice to either renew or go get a free antivirus solution and then install that one first.
But in the meantime, you need to get what's on there off of there. So what I would do is go to geekradio.com. That's our website. Mm-hmm. Click on the spyware link, and you can find a link to a program called Malware Bytes. Start with that. That won't run in the background, and it won't interfere with the antivirus you have, but it'll do a quick scan, and it can tell you whether you are infected and may even be able to clean it up. But you may have to update your software. If your software is not, if your standard software that you've been using, you haven't been paying for it, it'll continue to run, but it will not necessarily continue to protect you.
And that's interesting, because, I mean, usually when it expires, then it pops up, you know, so that you can renew it.
When was the last time you saw that renewal notice?
So since they put that on there, it hasn't come up at all. And, it happened in June. That's when they came to put that.
And so this started happening immediately after they?
No, it didn't. Not immediately.
So if they installed it in June, did you pay for something in June? Did you pay for the software in June?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, well, then it lasts a year. So you should not have to worry about it till June. It's possible that something got past McAfee. But if you have some kind of software that is trying to redirect you to specific sites, that sounds like spyware, and you need to get it scanned.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Uh-huh. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
What do you think? We got time for this one?
Quickly, Mary, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Very quickly, Mary.
In 1 minute or less.
Was moving, disconnected, unplugged the compact desktop, and put it on the floor, reconnected it, and it would not come on. Would not boot up, nothing, just dead.
When you plug it in, do you hear any fans or any kind of sound that indicate anything is happening?
I don't remember.
Well, that's important, because if you're plugging it in and you hear fans, but nothing boots up or nothing powers up, you don't hear any beeps, then the power supply is working, but there may be something else in the system.
Something could have come loose in the case is a possibility. Also, there's a little bitty switch on some power supplies to where even though it's plugged in, you might have to flip that switch on in addition to hitting the button at the front of the computer.
Oh, where would that be?
Right, usually where that plugs into the power supply. So if you've got like one of the cords that can plug into the wall and plug into the computer, huh? And it can come out of both, look around the area where that plugs into the computer for a little bitty on-off switch.
Okay.
It'll usually kind of recessed. And if that doesn't work, call us back next week.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thanks, you too, Mary. Good night.
We survived. Dude.
Somehow, yeah. Jay is back next week. Who's going to take us out?
Let Peter take us out. Peter?
I can take us out.
Yay!
All right, well, stay tuned for Vegan World Radio after this or whatever's on your local station. I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Plicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
Houston's most diverse radio lineup.
But why is this kind of programming important? Just think about it. Deep in the heart of Texas, KPFT listeners get acquainted with ideas and sounds that few people ever have a chance to hear. KPFT brings the world to our listeners. This is week two of KPFT's Quiet Campaign, a pledge drive that's not a pledge drive. Just short announcements asking you to go to kpft.org to give a year-end gift. Week one got off to a good start, but we need you to help out today. So visit kpft.org if you appreciate this unique kind of radio. As the year comes to a close, we depend on you now more than ever. We'll be reminding you this month about the importance of this amazing outlet. Even if you don't listen to everything, isn't the fact that this option is available important to you? Give your year-end gift now at kpft.org. This is Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
Hi, I'm General Manager Dwayne Bradley here with an elections update. KPFT's election period has been extended. Our new deadline for your ballot to be received in New York is December 18th, but you still need to act now and vote. During this extension, you may hear candidate statements that we are required to air. Opinions expressed may not reflect those of KPFT. Do your research and cast an informed vote. Thanks for voting in this year's election. The deadline to receive ballots in New York is Tuesday, December 18th. Our board helps shape the direction of this station, and your vote makes a difference. KPFT wants you to vote in this year's board election. Visit kpft.org to learn more about the candidates and how to make a year-end contribution.